הנה טובו מעניי, שבת אחים גם יחד. הנה מה טוב, הנה מה טוב, לילה 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 לילה.
Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
We're continuing in the series based on some of the sayings of our founding rabbi, Robert Solomon of blessed memory, and the series is called The Wisdom of Solomon. And I want to first talk about, you know, a lot of you know that I used to be in the business world for many years and with the MBA at Emory and such, and we did a lot of case studies on successful businesses. And one of those, for sure, if you look at the trajectory over the last many years, is a little company, maybe you've heard of it. It's called Apple. I like, you know, the movie Forrest Gump. But at one point, he says, yeah, then he invested in a fruit company called Apple, and it did really well. Yeah. Apple. Wow, very interesting. In a business sense, one of the reasons experts resoundingly know this, and if you study it, you can very much see it very clearly. One of the reasons that Apple became the most valuable company in the whole world. Some of us remember back in the day where it was like PCs or Macs, and boy, PCs kind of took the upper hand. It was like, well, what's going to happen to Apple? Apple's going to get pushed out. Nothing's going to be with Apple anymore. Most valuable company in the entire world. I'd say they did okay. As of today, actually, they've been moved to second. What a shame, second. But one of the reasons that Apple became the most valuable company in the world is because of the incredible focus of the company laid out by Steve Jobs, its founder CEO for very many years before he passed. Why? Because he said, and he would proclaim this often, very often. He was very, very clear. He had a real clarity from a business perspective about what Apple was going to be. He had an obsessive vision for elegant design, intuitive user experience, and the fusion of technology and humanities or liberal arts. Very interesting. We studied him at Emory Business School for sure. And it's interesting. Over the years, not long ago, I watched an old video of him when he was speaking to a group of Apple employees. So it was like an employee session where the employees were like able to ask questions to Steve Jobs and that kind of thing. And periodically, and it showed this in the video, and I found it absolutely fascinating. Periodically, he'd get criticism. Wow, man, you had to have some chutzpah to criticize Steve Jobs as one of the Apple employees. Man, that was, I don't know strategically, career-wise, if that was the best move. But the point is that sometimes he'd get criticism. I watch sometimes where I'd say, you know, this and this product that's not ours seems to do this and this better than we do it, and da da da. And ours isn't fulfilling this exact need here that this other software is doing, da da da. And I would see him get some criticism, but he would often reply. He would listen thoughtfully to the criticism, and then he would reflect, and with an assuredness that was not in any way threatening, but very resolved that Apple was not all things to all people. It was not intended to be all things to all people. He said, and this was a common refrain that he had, if you study his career, he talks about these three things very specifically. He said they were and would remain focused on elegant design, intuitive user experience, and the fusion of technology with liberal arts. Okay, that was their vision, and they stuck relentlessly to it. And friends, I want to tell you, the focus of his vision worked. It worked. And from a secular perspective, for sure, I mean, you cannot deny this. He changed the world. He absolutely changed the world significantly. Interesting. Interesting. Whereas Steve Jobs was very secular and Apple a secular company, there's actually a spiritual principle that's involved in this. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 29, please. Proverbs 29. I'm actually going to go old school. I'm going to take this first verse out of the King James. Yeah, that's right. Melech Yaakov, King James. Oh, my goodness. Proverbs 29, verse 18. I like the translation here. It says this. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Very interesting. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I mentioned to you a little bit earlier that I just returned from the Rabbis Conference. It was a conference of Messianic Jewish rabbis from literally all over the world. Over the course of the last few days, I've sat with a Messianic rabbi from Mexico City. I sat with a rabbi from Seattle, Washington, from Southern California, from Oklahoma, from Texas, from up in New York, a number of them from Florida. There were Messianic rabbis from literally all over the place, Cincinnati, all four corners of Toronto. And overseas too, Messianic rabbis from all over the place that were there. Really a powerful conference. God is doing a lot of things in the Messianic Jewish movement. We're seeing some real growth, some special things happening. Rabbi Jonathan Kahn was there, as he always is. And he, I don't know if you know, he had his 10th book, which he gifted to all the rabbis. And his 10th book is his 10th book in a row that is a New York Times bestseller, Messianic Jewish Rabbi. And by bestseller, I don't mean a bestseller in the religious aisle or in the, you know, the Christian or the Jewish space. No, we're talking about the number one bestseller of any book in the world. It's absolutely unbelievable, the success of Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. He shared with us a lot also, and very, very special, really remarkable guy. But no, okay, but yet again, at this rabbi's conference, yet again, I tell you, I testify, you ask any rabbi that was there, they're all testified by far the most quoted rabbi still in the Messianic Jewish movement is Rabbi Robert Solomon of blessed memory. It's interesting because I've hit the 20th anniversary of my ordination as a Messianic rabbi, 20 years, okay, and yet he's still the most quoted rabbi in the movement. The guy hasn't preached a message in forever, right? You know, and he's still the most quoted rabbi in the movement. And I tell you what, I guess I'm chopped liver here already. You know, will somebody please quote me once up there? No, I'm just kidding. I couldn't care less about that. I'm real proud of my dad of blessed memory. He went on to be with the Lord last year. And isn't it amazing, Baruch? He's the most quoted rabbi. Like, he was quoted four or five, six different times by different rabbis with different quotes. I'm telling you, it's absolutely, Lynn, it's remarkable. After all these years, he made quite an impact on our movement and on our leaders. But easily, one of his most commonly quoted lines, and when I say one of the most commonly quoted, I mean of the rabbis in the movement, probably every single rabbi's conference for the last 20 years, some rabbi has quoted this line. by Rabbi Robert. Yeah, you think I'm doing this as a sermon series. I think the rabbis of the movement are doing it in their sermon series. They're using his quotes. But this quote probably used every year for 20, because it is a, to me, it is a foundational saying or quote or for the Messianic Jewish movement, especially for leaders in our congregations. But really, it has broader approach because it applies to whatever house of worship you're in. And also, it has an individual component, too. Rabbi Robert would say, and he would be quoting Proverbs 29, without a vision, the people perish. Notice that it is singular. Vision, not visions. Our vision at Beth Hillel has always been the same. We here at Beth Hillel, our vision is to reach the Jewish community of Metro Atlanta with a message that Yeshua is the promised Jewish Messiah of Israel and all mankind, and that one need give up his or her Jewishness to believe in a Jewish Messiah. That is our vision. Period. End of sentence. Now we also serve to spiritually grow our community of Jewish believers and our non-Jewish brothers and sisters who choose to worship in a Jewish style and practice. And we say Baruch Hashem for that. Because see, my friends, I'm going to just tell you very forthrightly, we here at Beth Hillel, we could be a lot of things. We really could. We could be a lot of different things, but we don't want to be a lot of things. Other people are already doing those things, and we are not called to do those things. There are some houses of worship, just for an example, there are some houses of worship that focus on being trendy. Huh? That's great. They have flashing lights and kind of make it a sound and visual show. Okay. Well, listen, that may have a place, but it's not here. There are some that focus and strictly adhere to an exact 1 hour limit to their services. Listen, that can be well and good, truly. I don't mean that facetiously. But we as Jewish people have more extensive liturgical sections of our services, and we simply can't do that. Why? Because we're also not going to cut the worship, and we're not going to cut the word either. It's not consistent with our vision. So if that's what someone is looking for, no problem. There are lots of places like that out there. This is not their place, and that's okay. Some places, as their focus, as their oftentimes singular or primary focus, focus on prison ministry or homeless ministry or seniors or food ministry or missions. These are all good things. Y'all, these are all great things. There's no problem with them. And we incorporate many of them into what we do. But it is not our vision, singular. It may well be the vision of the place down the street. And that's great, because every place needs a vision. That's good. But that is not our vision. Some places focus mostly on their denomination, or they focus on casual attire, and that seems to be a focus. Or they focus on prophecy, or they just use just certain parts of the Bible. Other places focus on rabbinics or the Talmud. Some focus just on young people or professionals or the affluent. Some focus on the poor and the needy. Understand, friends, please, with clarity, many of these things may be well and good and can be very valid reasons for houses of worship. No question about it. But make no mistake, friends, many visions can lead to confusion. Many visions, again, this has a personal application to you in your life. I'll get to that in a little bit later. Many visions can lead to confusion. Our vision at Bethel is singular. We are here to reach the Jewish community of Metro Atlanta with a message that Yeshua is the promised Jewish Messiah of Israel and all mankind, and that one not need give up his or her Jewishness to believe in a Jewish Messiah. That is our vision, right? Because, thank you, God bless you, praise God. Because, friends, there is indeed a house of worship on every corner here in North Georgia. You all know that. But there are woefully few of us. And the beauty of our congregation is that it's comprised of Jewish people who want to live out their faith in Yeshua while retaining their identity, and of Gentiles who feel a love and a calling to their Jewish friends and desire to worship in a Jewish way. And that's beautiful. Matthew chapter 10, please. Matthew 10, Bavakashra. As a side note, this vision that I just described was shared by a few other people. Maybe you've heard of some of them. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. Yeshua sent out the 12. This is the 12 disciples. This is the Messiah. Yeshua sent out the 12 and ordered them, "Do not go to the Gentiles and do not enter into any Samaritan town, but go instead to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the kingdom of heaven has come near." Wow, that's powerful. Now, understand, friends, this does not mean that we do not welcome and desire for Gentiles to receive salvation. My goodness, over the years, we've had thousands, without exaggeration, of non-Jewish people accept Messiah also. And our hearts rejoice over that. In fact, it's interesting. After Yeshua says this in Matthew chapter 10, you're to go to the Jewish people, and that's where I want you to go. Yet, in Matthew chapter 15, Yeshua himself proclaims, and he says, when he's approached by somebody, he says, "No, I'm sorry, I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He says it again. But yet, even then, due to the great faith of a Gentile Canaanite woman, he removed an evil spirit from her daughter. This is our Messiah, because we know in the big picture, in the end, he came for the whole world, Jew and Gentile alike. So similarly, my friends, understand our love goes to everyone. Our love truly goes to everyone, but our vision is singular. One of the things we review in the new members class, which is coming up, is that, hear this. This is just such an important distinction. And it's really core to who we are for those of you who come from a non-Jewish background. We review in the new members class that here at Beth Hillel, we desire Gentiles at Beth Hillel who love Jewish people, not just Jewish stuff. You with me on that? Their heart is like Ruth, and it fills them with great joy to see one of our people come to understand the truth of the Jewish Messiah. So within this, there is an important place for both Jew and Gentile in a Messianic Jewish congregation. And so I say to you, certainly if you are Jewish, if you're watching online too, or if you're here, if you've come from a Jewish background, don't even think about turning away from that which God himself placed in you. Out of the billions of people in this world, literally billions, God chose a small few to be his chosen people. And belief in Messiah does not free you from the duty and responsibility to maintain and live that out, but only heightens it. Now, I say to you, is it harder than going to some wonderful a believing home, a house of worship? Is it harder to live in, as a Messianic Jewish? Yes, it is. But that's irrelevant because God called you out. And if you are not Jewish here, you are a part of a revival that is directly spoken of in Scripture. Not implied, not just like in general terms, there's going to be revival. No, I'm talking about specifically this, Jewish people coming to faith in Messiah again, in the numbers that we're seeing specifically many times, not once or twice. A good chunk of the book talks about this, right? You are part of a revival directly spoken of in Scripture. God says that the Jewish people are engraved on the palm of his hand. He says the Jewish people are the apple of his eye. That's the most center part. If you love God, you should love the Jewish people because he so clearly does, with a special and a unique choosing. Not any better, Jewish people, not any better, but different. But those non-Jewish people called to the Jewish people also have a different calling. Is it easier for you to go to some wonderful house of worship? Yes, it's easier. But that is irrelevant too, because God has called you out. He did not call you. He did not call you to be Jewish. He called you out to love and support his Jewish people. Wow, what a blessing that is. Thank you, Barb. Habakkuk, please, chapter 2. Habakkuk, chapter 2. Vision. Whew. It's powerful, friends. Without a vision, the people perish. Brucey, this is a very Rabbi Robert Solomon message, isn't it? Habakkuk speaks of God's imminent judgment on Babylon. However, in this vision, in this case, it's a literal one. God reveals an important component of understanding a vision. In this case, this is a literal vision. It's not a vision like we're talking about, but this is a vision that God gave. But he says something that will help us in understanding the importance and the centrality of understanding the vision. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. God is giving instruction. It says, then Adonai answered me and said, write down the vision, make it plain on the tablets so that the reader may run with it. See, friends, and again, I'm telling you, this is a personal application also. I'll get to that. The vision that we have must be clear and understandable. Beth Hillel is never going to be that mega congregation down the street. We are not called to this. That is not our vision. My very good friend, Rabbi David Chernoff of Beth Yeshua in Philadelphia, famously has said that many Messianic congregations would be multiple times larger if we only compromised our vision. But this would be unfaithful to our calling, and we're not going to do it. And my father, blessed memory, Rabbi Robert, knew this well. You can pull the screen down, Carol, and I'll tell you when to flip on the first thing. He wanted to see the Messianic movement grow and expand. So over 20 years ago, he started a congregation. He started going down to New Orleans, Louisiana. Why? To seek to plant a Messianic congregation. There wasn't one there then. Initially, he was going down just once a month. Then a little storm hit. You may have heard of it, called Katrina. And wow, it was crazy. Katrina, of course, 20 years ago. And soon after Katrina, he again began going down there. And this time he brought a guy named David Schiff, who had been a leader here for many years. Some of you remember David Schiff, who would become the rabbi there. And I mentioned to you that 2 weeks ago, I was down there. Why they invited me? I get asked to speak, and I don't usually say yes just because of my time here is my priority. But I could not resist that one. It was the 20th anniversary of the congregation in New Orleans. that Bethuel Roswell here planted down there 20 years ago. And by my late father was the initial plantor, along eventually brought in Rabbi David Schiff. And so I had to go down there just to encourage them and uplift them. And I wanted to share with you a little bit of this. Why? Because it's all part of the vision here. And so the first slide, you can go ahead and pull up the first slide. You can see Rabbi David Schiff, this was 20 years ago, holding up the Torah in a little place as the congregation was starting out. They were just getting going. There's Rabbi Schiff. And then the next slide, a whole bunch of people in New Orleans blowing shofars, man. They're into the shofars down there for sure. It's beautiful. They start off their service with a shofar blowing. And then after the congregation was going a little while, Rabbi Schiff had been here. He usually sat right over there. And he and his wife, Rebbetzin Sharon, wonderful Rebbetzin also, had a great job. They quit the secular work, and they were going down there commuting every other week, driving down to New Orleans every other week for years. And then every week, and then it was like, okay, we gotta make the transition. So we had a big ordination and installation service for them here at Beth Hillel to send them off with our blessing. Next slide, you see Rabbi Robert with Rabbi Schiff holding the Torah scrolls right here. It's a beautiful picture. And then the very next slide is a similar one. You can see Rabbi Schiff is smiling there. And how beautiful that is as we were. And then we came and we were just rejoiced with the Torah scrolls as we were just blessing them. And we had a service right here in front of me right here. Next slide, you can see three of us holding and dancing with the Torah scrolls. You see Rabbi Schiff, you got my back. And you see Rabbi Robert Solomon also there. This is something that happened right here in front of you. Right here in front of you, you see this picture. That is exactly where this happened. A great rejoicing for this new congregation that was opening up in New Orleans here as planted by Beth Hillel. So I went down there a couple weeks ago just rejoicing. And while I was there, man, I took a picture of their front sign. I'm into front signs lately. So the next picture you can see, look at that. It's congregation Beth Hillel Mandeville, a Louisiana Messianic community. Let me tell you something. I did have a po' boy while I was down there. I had some beignets at Café du Mont. I am telling you what, I ate it up, friends, literally. I got my fill down there, but man, they got a lot of trafe down there. Wow, boy, a lot of that gumbo and jambalaya and etouffee, and I can't eat that stuff. Anyway, you see, it's so interesting to see a different Beth Hillel sign, you know, and so then I spoke. Next slide shows me up there speaking in front of the congregation. It was an honor to stand in the footsteps, literally, of my late father and of course Rabbi Schiff. The next slide, you can see they converted an amazing thing. They made the whole ark there. You can see it with me there speaking, and they have the Western Wall there. Amazing, huh? It's a really beautiful thing. Next slide is a similar picture. And then I had an opportunity to pray for Rabbi David and Rebbetzin Sharon. That's the next slide. You can see me laying hands on them in their congregation. Their congregation's thriving, doing very well, man. You could tell they had an incredible group of people that were sold out. I could see they were sold out. How beautiful it was. And Rabbi Schiff and Rebbetzin Sharon are doing just such a wonderful job at Beth Hillel, New Orleans. Keep them in prayer. Pray for Beth Hillel, New Orleans, that God, you know, there's a lot of bad stuff down there. There's a lot of witchcraft and that kind of thing in New Orleans, if you're familiar with the history of the city, and a lot of darkness, if you will. But they're shining the light in that metro area. What a blessing that is. You can pull up the screen. Thank you, Carolyn. Friends, this is vision. See, a strong vision breeds success. Let me say that again. You need to hear that in your personal life. A strong vision breeds success. Psalm 32, please. Psalm 32. Friends, we must listen to God for his direction in our lives as well. because he has a vision for us. We need to have a vision. Personally, Psalm 32, verse 8, it says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will give counsel. My eye is on you. It says, God will teach us in the way we should go. What does that mean? That means that there is a way that we should go, right? It's a very deep point. It's also prophetic in nature. I'll talk about that in a second, but it not only applies to us as a congregation, there is a way that we should go congregationally, but it also has application to your life personally as well. Just some people, for example, some people, and you know this, some people are people pleasers. People pleasers. They'll do whatever someone asks them to do. And listen, on one level, that's really sweet, but it actually limits their effectiveness because they're not as focused on the vision that God has for their lives. Just, and there are lots of different kinds of examples where I see this, but I see somebody, for example, who spent time as a barber, and then they were a shoe salesman, and then an assembly line worker, then they worked in nonprofit, and then they focused on computers. And listen, understand, there's nothing wrong with changing careers. That's not my point. My point is that people often don't have continuity in their lives because they never put all their weight into a vision. I want to say that again. I want that to sink into you. My point is that people often don't have continuity in their lives because they never put all their weight into a vision. Singular. One evidence of this, there's lots of other examples. Sometimes you see what are referred to as church hoppers. From one house of worship to another house of worship to another house of worship, right? They might get their ears tickled somewhere, or maybe they might be offended somewhere else. I'm offended. Man, that is, if you have a vision, you will remain. If you understand God's call on your life, nothing will inhibit you from pursuing it. Nothing. It's almost like a joke to even consider it. It's not even the realm of possibility. If you know what you're called to, nothing's going to distract you from your vision. If you know it, there's power in that, my friends, great power. But without a vision, the people perish. So says the word of God. Young people, I speak to you young people out there, have a vision. John 14. Yochanan. John 14. Young people, have a vision. God says what? He says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. That was in Psalm, right? That was in Psalm. I will instruct you in the way. I want you to check this out. This is a cool messianic, this is a cool prophetic thing here that's going on that I want you to catch. It's pretty neat once you see it. God says, I will instruct and teach you in the way you should go. That's a vision. And notice here that the King David says, when we read the Psalm, that God will teach you in the way you should go. But if written in Hebrew in the Psalms, the way is haderech. The way. I will teach you in the way you should go. What is that? That's a vision. It's the way you should go. Haderech, the way. John 14, verse 6, Yeshua said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Very powerful, my friends. Very powerful. Yeshua says, He is the way. He is the way. The psalmist says that God says, I will teach you the way that you should go. Haderech. And Yeshua then, and John 14 says, I am the way. But wait, there's more. It's a Ginsu commercial. Some of you remember, okay. If you read, you don't need to turn to it, but if you read in Acts chapter 19 and Acts chapter 24, there are other places in Scripture that the earliest believers, as I think you all know, were not called Christians. They were called followers of the way. That's what they were known as. Your early believers were known as followers of the way, HaDerech. It was the name that the earliest believers went by. Why? Because Yeshua said that I am the way. Pretty cool. When you see the original prophecy and the original statement in Psalms, you see what Yeshua says, and then you see what the first believers were called, followers of the way. And I'll go ahead and just add a little icing to the cake. Is that if you go to Israel today, I've been to this place before, there's a messianic congregation by the Galilee that is called Kahilat HaDerech, Congregation the Way. Whoa, that's totally cool. Can you imagine being in Galilee, going to a congregation called The Way after you read Psalm and then after you read John chapter 14 and then after you read Acts 19 and 24 and there you are in Israel, right in the area of Yeshua, going to a place called HaDerech, The Way? It's just so awesome. Really pretty cool, I think. But the point here is that God will instruct you in the way you should go. What is that? It is your vision. And understand, it can be a subsegment of a bigger vision. You may be an usher here at Bethel, or you may be a musician here at Bethel, for example. But this furthers the purpose of the bigger vision. You understand? That's your part of it. Likewise, you may be a salesperson, or you may be a homemaker, or an IT professional, or you may even be retired. But even this you should do within the context of the vision that God has given you for your life. Because friends, if you act within this vision, that which you do will be blessed. If you act, and that goes for all of us individually, and we have different congregations here, whatever vision God has given you, if you act within your vision, you will succeed. You will be the most blessed. You will be the most fulfilled if you act within the vision that God has given you and you personally. I'll conclude today with a passage of Scripture that helps define our vision here at Bethel, Romans 11. If you remember here, you should almost know this one by heart. Romans 11 in the New Covenant in the Brit Chadashah. It's a passage of Scripture. I'm just going to read part of it. The whole chapter really elucidates it. Ironically, a chapter that's written to Gentiles, ironically, by Rav Shaul. Okay, so we're going to take this passage and it helps explain what our vision here is at Bethel. And let me tell you, it's exciting. Right, Yoel? Are you excited? He is. For the record, he said he is. He said it. Romans chapter 11, verse 11. I love this. Let it sink deep into your spirit. He's explaining about the Jewish people to his Gentile beloved. Rabbi Shul says, I say then, did they stumble so as to fall? I say then, they did not stumble so as to fall, did they? Asking about the Jewish people, did they stumble so that they would fall? He answers the question, may it never be. But by their false step, salvation has come to the Gentiles to provoke Israel to jealousy. See, there's a purpose that God has, and there's a responsibility that Gentiles has. If you're going to follow what the Scripture says, to provoke Israel to jealousy, it is part of the Gentile believing world's national call. Verse 12, now if their transgression, meaning the Jewish people, if their transgression leads to riches for the world, because the word went out to Jew and Gentile alike, and their being their Jewish people, their loss riches for the Gentiles, then how much more their fullness? but I'm speaking to you who are Gentiles. Insofar as I am an emissary to the Gentiles, I spotlight my ministry if somehow I might provoke to jealousy my own flesh and blood and save some of them. For if there, the Jewish people's rejection of Yeshua leads to the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Whew. Life from the dead. The reconciliation of the world. Not my words, Rabbi Shaul's words. Isn't that something that we can all get behind? Somebody say amen. Isn't that something that sounds exciting to each of you? Say amen. That is our vision here at Beth Hillel. And the title of my message is Vision. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord. I want to ask if there's anybody here today who's never said a prayer to receive Yeshua as your Messiah. If that is you, then how about today? If you have never said yes and given your life over to Yeshua, never said a prayer to receive him as your Messiah, but you want to today, wherever you are, just raise your hand and we'll pray together if you would like to say that prayer to receive Yeshua as your Messiah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Mm. See, that's life from the dead, people. Love it. Maybe you're watching online and you want to say that simple prayer to turn your life over to God. Repeat this simple prayer after me. Mean it in your heart. The Lord will transform you, and it's going to be life from the dead. Say, dear God, I humble myself before you. I accept Yeshua into my heart. I believe he's risen again, sitting at your right hand. Please forgive me my sins. I'm sorry. I will live the rest of my days for you. Thank you, Yeshua. If you said that prayer for the first time, if you're in this room, see me after the service. I want to celebrate and rejoice with you. If you're watching online or on the podcast, send us an email. We want to rejoice with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. God, I pray for all of us here. I pray for our congregation. I thank you for this great rabbi's conference we just had, where it's so clear, and Rabbi Kahn was talking about this too, where it's so clear that you have prophetically raised up this Messianic Jewish movement, and so many tens of thousands of Jewish people have come to believe that Yeshua is the promised Jewish Messiah, when for millennia it didn't happen. Thank you, God, for this, Lord. Lord, we pray for our congregation. Lord, help us maintain that vision. Lord, and for everybody here personally, help them in their lives. Reveal to them, Lord, what the vision that you have for them is. There can be subtext and subplots to the vision, things that we do to achieve the vision in different areas. But one vision. Everybody may have something a little bit different personally. Lord, I just want to take just a moment to allow you to speak to your children about any vision for them beyond what you've already revealed to them. Thank you, Lord. And even if nothing comes to mind, Lord, we know the overarching vision to serve you in spirit and in truth. I thank you, God, so much for the service, for Shabbat, for this new year where you are revealing yourself to us. We bless you and thank you for these things. And we ask them, B'Shem Yeshua, in the name of our Messiah, Yeshua, we pray. Amen and
thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah or how you can become part of our Bethel El family, please visit our website at www.bethelel.org. That's BETHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Arab Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and Shalom.